The words of Max Kutz. When lives are born or people die, when something sacred's sensed in soil or sky, mark the time. Respond with thought or prayer or smile or grief. Let nothing living slip between the fingers of the mind. For all of these are holy things we will not, cannot find again. This year, 2020, marks the 50th anniversary of the lay chaplaincy program in Canada. The 50th year that appointed members of congregations across the country have been allowed to celebrate rites of passage within and beyond their communities. At the risk of being accused of some sort of nepotism, I would like to acknowledge the role of my late uncle and member of this fellowship, Ken Morrison, in this step forward in the denomination. As a member of the Canadian Unitarian Council in 1970, Ken made a motion that we, as a faith community, recognize lay chaplains to be able to share the responsibility and deliverance of rites of passage along with official clergy. I suspect that Ken's motivation was belonging body and soul to LUF and remarking that we, along with other lay-led congregations, didn't have access to ceremonies with language that resonated and reflected our Unitarian perspectives. Lay chaplaincy revolves entirely around ceremony and ritual, which mark how relationships have altered in both joyful and sorrowful ways. Even though currently many people opt to forego a marriage ceremony, and more obituaries eschew memorial services, I believe that there is a human need, as Max Kutz said, to mark the time. In the wake of the Iranian-Ukrainian air disaster, ministers of foreign affairs met in London to discuss the aftermath. They lit five candles, representing each of the five countries who lost citizens, followed by a moment of silence. They marked the time, and the gesture must have felt universal. To move to a more personal experience, my decision to throw my hat into the ring of lay chaplaincy the first time coincided with my 50th birthday. That felt like a time to open a new door and explore serving community in a different way other than musically. I also anticipated my own dear father's death sometime within my 6-year term. I knew what he wanted in a memorial, agnostic that he was, and felt that the service I could create would be a final gift to him. The other deep appeal was the prospect of a unique affiliation with other people. What I imagined, but what could only be realized with each and every connection with actual people, was the richness of facilitating ceremonies that needed to happen. I think that I can speak for all of us in saying that lay chaplaincy, the marking of time with gravitas and grace, is both inwardly spiritually fulfilling and a reaching outward. Perhaps they are two sides of the same coin. One very significant political event that occurred in 2005 was the legalization in Canada of same-sex marriage. LUF started our own self-education about homophobia in the early 1990s with the Welcoming Congregation, and we were on the forefront of public support for LGBTQ issues. In keeping with our deep beliefs and intentions toward inclusivity and equality, lay chaplains experience the joy and the satisfaction of being among the first to perform marriages for gay couples on both sides of the Canadian-American border. Our own Trish McGowan had that honor in Thunder Bay. It was groundbreaking at the time, and we all shared in this important event in history. LUF has offered this opportunity to many of its members over the 50 years of lay chaplaincy program. Before I turn the microphone over to Ellen Taylor, who will name all of those who have served, I'd like to close my remarks with the words of Andrew Kennedy. We come to love a church, the traditions, the history, and especially the people associated with it. And through these people, young and old, known and unknown, we reach out, both backward into history and forward into the future, to link together the generations in this imperfect but blessed community of memory and hope.
Over the past half century, our Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship has been well served by our lay chaplains. Some served one term, others served consecutive or intermittent future terms, further terms, that is. Let me name in the order of their first term only. In the 1970s, Vera Roberts and yours truly, Ellen Taylor. In the 1980s, Kennifer Brown and Teresa Legowski. 1990s, Bruce Lehman, Jermaine Kangas, Trish McGowan, Ken Morrison. 2000 and beyond, Heather Morrison, Susan Tayora, David Belrose, Robert Van Wyk, Susan Patterson Gulka, Heidi Wall, Jean Armstrong, and our most recent new chaplain in the most recent chaplain is, I wanted to say, the sweet 16th chaplain. Her name is Brenda Diebel. Let us cherish the memories of all. And may I just add another note? I heard somebody mention Trudy Jones, and Trudy Jones did, she was at my mother's, she was part of my mother's service in early 2001, I think it was.
So today we are talking about life's passages relating to spirit, and I've been asked to speak about the ultimate final passage. So I'll speak about a personal experience and one that most of you know about. Shirley Brome called me up one day in late winter 2018 and asked me to come to see her in my role as lay chaplain. I knew she was seriously ill, so I went to see her, and she told me she was losing many of her abilities due to her disease. At that point, she was having difficulty moving around and needed to use a walker. She knew her final days would not only be definite, but very difficult, and did not want herself or her family to experience what she knew was going to happen. Her adult daughter from Winnipeg was present at the meeting. We talked at length about our lives at LUF and all had a good laugh when I reminded her of our first interaction. It was at a church service given by Reverend Jane Bramadat. I just started working for LUF and created my very first order of service. During coffee time after the service, Shirley tapped me on the shoulder and quietly said, Jean, you spelled reverend incorrectly in the order of service. I spelled it reverend instead of reverend. I followed her statement with my own, and I said, "Shirley, you are my editor for life." We both laughed at the memory of that day, and she teased me about the occasional error, but how I got better as time went on. We worked so well together over the years, and she did much of the follow-up work for our service auctions and many other things to do with numbers, and I appreciated her honesty, her accuracy, and her dedication to doing things right for LUF. She talked about her atheist beliefs and how being Unitarian was such a good fit for her. And then she told me that she had arranged to have a medically assisted death and that she wanted me to do her memorial service. I was honored to be of service to Shirley and not at all surprised by her decision to take charge of her dying. So she asked me to write a service that she could review and approve beforehand. Not surprised. She said there'd only be about 50 people in attendance at her service. There'd be no music, just lunch. I would say a few words of welcome, that'd be it. So I went home and wrote out a short service of about 2.5 pages. I emailed it to Shirley. She called and asked if I could drop by to discuss the service with her and her children, who were all in town visiting. So on April the 21st, 2018, a Saturday, I went to see Shirley for one last time. She approved most of what I'd done. One of her children asked that I remove one paragraph, which sounded too spiritual, which was fine. And by the time we were done, the service was about 1 page long. And her last words to me were, "Thanks, Jean, for all the edits. I know it will be fine and that you'll still put your special mark on my service." It was a very emotional parting, as you can imagine. Shirley died peacefully 2 days later on Monday around 3 p.m., April the 23rd. Richard and I were on our way to San Diego, but I was very aware of the time. A few weeks after Shirley passed, I got some calls from her family. Her sister and daughter said that they had some things to add to the service and would I read their words because they would be too emotional to do so. I sighed with relief that they were wanting to express their thoughts of Shirley. And then Shirley's son emailed me from Vancouver and stated that he too had some things to say, but that he wanted to say them himself. And would that be okay? More relief. I said, yes, yes. The service became more like 12 pages long. I assured myself that Shirley's comment of "your special mark" applied here. Well, there were over 250 people at the service held at the Italian Hall across the street. And they had to move the service to the big hall and scramble to create enough food. Shirley had no realization what a mark she had left on this world with so many who respected and loved her. After the self-described rebellious son, Gordon, finished sharing his memories of his mom, I suggested to him that even though his mother did not believe in life after death, if he should feel a gentle tap on his shoulder, we'll all know that she was wrong. It was an unforgettable day and an honor of my life to be part of it. I closed Shirley's service with some of the following words, which I think she would have approved. Let us be honest with death. Let us not pretend that it is less than it is. It is separation. It is sorrow. It is grief. But let us neither pretend that death is more than it is. It's not an end to love. Humankind's need for love from each of us is boundless. It's not an end to joy and laughter. Let's be honest with death, for in that honesty, we will understand our loss better and ourselves more deeply. Life is fragile. We experience death as an interruption to life, but it is a natural part of the cycle, as is birthing and nurturing, sickness and health, breathing and growing. May Shirley's abundant life and quiet spirit remind us to live being fully alive. May her death remind us to be grateful for our time on this earth. And may we find comfort and support among the members of this loving community. Shirley died as she lived, with dignity and sensibility. She would have given us this advice.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Rob Van Wyk, and I am a retired lay chaplain, UF. I served from 2010 to 2016. But since that time, I changed hats, and I started serving with the National Canadian Unitarian Council Lay Chaplaincy Committee, the National Committee. And this is something that oversees congregations in applications for the lay chaplaincy. It coordinates training and support for lay chaplains and congregations, and provides consultation on lay chaplaincy matters. And I've been a member of this committee for 5 years. I thought I'd just give you a few words about it. I know this is dry as dust, but actually we can get an overview of how large the lay chaplaincy organization is in Canada. Our 8 members on the committee come from across Canada, and each is in contact with a set number of congregations. My congregations are Arburg, Manitoba, Winnipeg, Saskatoon, Regina, and Calgary. And fun facts, of the 44 congregations affiliated with the Canadian Unitarian Council, 35 of them have lay chaplains, have one or more lay chaplains. And there are currently 65 lay chaplains in Canada. One of the most important roles of this committee is to provide education opportunities. This usually involves providing weekend workshops in different locales that offer basic training or advanced training. The significant cost of running these workshops has inspired the committee to develop online training methods. And now that COVID is a reality in our lives, this project has matured to the point where all training in the near future will be held online. And this both reduces significant cost and will permit many to participate who might not have done so otherwise. So, although we may not be crazy about online training, it actually offers more opportunity. So there are pluses to this. So there's the National CUC Lay Chaplaincy Committee in a nutshell. Our Lay Chaplaincy Committee, our community, has really come a long way in the past 50 years. And thank you.
Thank you, Hanusha. Good morning, everyone. When I was first asked to be a chaplain, I said, thanks, but no thanks. I wasn't ready. I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to do a good job. You see, I love ritual and a good ceremony with meaningful words. You've heard about some of this from Jean and Heather. I was afraid I'd disappoint people. I took a year and really thought about it. I talked to Sally and to Heather and to Jean and to Heidi. They probably thought they made a mistake. But with their encouragement and support, I finally came to believe that I could be a chaplain, that I could make meaningful ceremonies to celebrate those special life-changing events in people's lives. It was an honor and a privilege to be part of this time in their lives. What these chaplains helped me realize is that I wouldn't be alone. They would be there to question, to answer questions, to provide feedback, and offer resources. An unexpected bonus is that I'm growing in spirit and getting more confident in my ability to talk with people during their most vulnerable times, both joyful and sorrowful. I'm able to be present to those I've been asked to serve and hear their needs and wants. My first wedding was a brilliant example of the importance of hearing and being present. I was so excited when I heard that the same-sex couple I was to marry wanted a brief, non-spiritual, non-religious ceremony in a wooded glen. I heard they wanted a pagan ceremony. Awesome, I thought. It would be so cool to do a hand fasting. Well, after all the research and getting it set up, I met with them and discovered, oh, no, they hadn't meant they wanted a pagan ceremony. They just wanted something non-religious, not too spiritual. One of them even said, can you do it in 10 minutes? Yeah, I could. I was so disappointed, especially at that time when I was to fit all this in 10 minutes. But I was able to let go of my disappointment and give them the ceremony that they wanted. They told me they were very happy with how it all came together. Simple, brief, yet meaningful. I'm looking forward to many more opportunities to serve as chaplain. I thank Sally, Jean, Heather, and Heidi for their support and encouragement, and for the team of past chaplains that have paved the road for us to be here today. Thank you.
I believe that this part of the ceremony is now handed over to me. So today we are marking a transition. We are honoring Heidi Wall. And I need to apologize to Heidi for leaving her off the end of the candle that I lit for former lay chaplains. She completed her 6-year term as lay chaplain at the end of last year. When Heidi first applied for this position, she was not successful, but luckily for us, she persevered and applied the second time because she has her own special gift of connecting with people. And because of this, she has received numerous referrals from the community at large, including performing ceremonies far outside of Thunder Bay. The Lay Chaplaincy Committee would like to thank Heidi very much for her years of service and present her with a plant as a gift. I don't know whether we're going to see that happen right now, or the plant is at the church anyway. She has been replaced by Brenda Diebel, who is already proving herself to be a great asset to our Lay Chaplaincy team. This is Brenda's first service, Lay Chaplaincy Sunday service in that role. So we welcome Brenda. I would also like to honor today my predecessor, Carol Ann Brumpton, who was the first chair of the Lay Chaplaincy Committee. Carol Ann served on the committee for nearly 10 years and was instrumental in getting it in a good working basis. Ably assisted, she tells me, by Bruce Lehman. Beyond her time, memories of what went on at committee meetings are a little hazy, apart from the fact that they had a lot of fun and copious amounts of wine. So maybe we'll get some reminiscences at the end of this service. Lastly, we're marking an important piece of history today with the dedication of Ken Morrison's stall. When Ken became lay chaplain in 1996, he commissioned a stall, and it has been passed down to succeeding lay chaplains. Today, we are dedicating it to be housed at the fellowship for the use of whoever might need it. Heather's now displaying it. It's beautiful. And so we remember with gratitude Ken and his many contributions to the lay chaplaincy program and our fellowship in general. As a footnote, I should add that the stall may be waiting for the next lay chaplain, who we hope will begin work next June. So please give some consideration as to whether this person may be you. And now I'd like to hand the conclusion of the service back to Heather at the fellowship. Thank you. Heidi.
Thank you so much, Sally. Can you see this beautiful plant? I'm overwhelmed. I totally wasn't expecting this. It's a beautiful orchid. Thank you. I know Brenda is so capable and wonderful. She will be a wonderful lay chaplain. As is also traditional, I pass on my stole to Brenda. Normally, I would be wearing it, taking it off my shoulder and giving it to her, but in these times, we're not able to do that. So this is the stole. It's teal on one side, it's purple on the other. The Reverend Julie Stoneberg gave it to David Belrose, and David Belrose passed it on to me when he stepped down. Included with the stole was a pair of rose-colored glasses so that we can always see the sunny side of life. So welcome, Brenda. I just have a few words to say on my personal experience. Before I start, we, as a group, we do ceremonies for each other. For example, when I got married in 2009, Heather Morrison and Susan Tiura co-officiated at my wedding. And when my father died, Heather Morrison did a beautiful moving job for my father's celebration of life, and Rob Van Wyk gave the eulogy. So my thanks to them. So my 6-year term as lay chaplain seemed to have just rushed by. Being a lay chaplain has blessed me with many opportunities of meeting and connecting with wonderful people and performing rituals of life passages. Some memorable events have included officiating for a niece in Saskatchewan, for which I got a special 3-day license, officiating for my niece in town, performing weddings for friends and also for members of our fellowship, performing unique same-sex weddings, having the difficult yet rewarding task of helping people say goodbye to a loved one through celebrations of life and graveside services. And in many of these services, more than one lay chaplain worked together to put it together. And conversely, celebrating with a family as they welcome a new life through a child dedication. I remember an exceptionally joyous occasion of officiating for my parents' 60th anniversary vow renewal celebration in 2017 and presiding over the bittersweet interment of my father's ashes just this past August. Our lay chaplaincy committee consists of lay chaplains and other interested persons. I want to thank all the members for their friendship and support, especially former lay chaplain Susan Tiura, my friend and mentor, who gifted me with this stole when her term ended. Also former chair Carol Ann Brampton and current chair Sally Palmer Woods. I am honored to have been able to serve Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship in this capacity.